7 minute net na 6 en jy's ingeskakel op Casey Talk met my Rasaad Adams. Ons praat vanaand in vanaand se program oor die G20 beraad wat natuurlik verlede week vir die heel eerste keer in Afrika gehou was en Suid-Afrika wat natuurlik die voorreg gehad het om die eerste Afrika land te wees wat die gasheer is. Ons weet daar's nou tans baie gesprekke aan die gang veral rondom Amerika wat nou gisteraand toe ons almal geslaap het that announcement by Donald Trump was made on Truth Social that South Africa will not be welcome at the 2026 G20 summit, which of course will be hosted in Miami by the United States. A contentious subject at this point. a lot of questions around President Trump's conduct, of course, but from face value, from what we can tell, is that legally, the United States does not have any legal grounds to prohibit South Africa from attending the G20, especially since it's one of the founding nations. And I do believe that there would have to be some sort of, I don't know, man, some sort of consensus to some point. All of the countries participating in G20 would want to have sufficient consensus about South Africa's presence at the 2026. But that is not the point of tonight's discussion. Of course, South Africa marked a historic moment last week when it held the very first leadership summit, G20, on African soil. And while global leaders gathered in Johannesburg for high-level bilateral talks, communities across the country were also asking crucial questions, such as how do these big-picture conversations translate into the daily bread-and-butter issues that our communities face on the local level. At the same time, in Johannesburg, civil society organizations hosted the People Summit, is what they called it, a parallel platform where the realities of rural and working class communities were brought to the fore. And joining us this evening is Cara McKay from the Women on Farms Project, one of the organizations that traveled to Johannesburg to ensure that the voices of specifically farm women and rural communities were heard. Cara, thank you so much for joining us on Casey.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you to your listeners for wanting to hear and sharing the story.
Fantastic. So as I said, of course, we want to unpack what transpired at G20. But first, as I've alluded to, you held what was called a People's Summit in Johannesburg, parallel to the G20 summit. Tell us about the People's Summit. What was the aim of it, and what were some of the issues that were discussed by these civil organizations?
So it's We the 99% People Summit was the official title, and what that draws attention to is that the world is so divided between the 99%, which are the majority of all people, and then this 1%, which are the elites, which are rich and are wealthy beyond measure. And so we wanted to focus on the 99% that don't have access to that level of wealth, that are actually struggling to put food on the table and to put those issues on the front. And in particular, we wanted to talk about the realities that farm women face in the Western Cape, in the Northern Cape, in South Africa, because these are the women that are making the food that we're going to be eating tonight. But at the same time, they don't know where the food will come from to feed their own families. And then that's another level of inequality. And those are the issues that, as a Women on Farms project, we want to talk about and to highlight as critically important for governments to consider.
And take us through how these conversations went down. I know that there was various themes throughout the I think it was 2 or 3 days that you were there. What were some of the themes? Was it an open discussion? Was it panel discussions? Was it a display of some of the work that women do within the rural community? Take us through how these discussions went down and how you brought to light these issues that you've now alluded to.
So you have to, again, you have to look at the contradiction, is that to a large extent, the government 20, the G20, that took place in Sandton and in their own space, with their own rooms, and they made decisions, they sat together and decided. And so the 99% was a direct, direct counter summit. And so that space was, if you can imagine, it was on Constitutional Hill, and it was just full of energy and full of life. And there were people from all over the world, and there was art, and there was music, and everybody had their T-shirts on, and there was panel discussions. There was also exhibition spaces. There was documentaries. It was just like, it was truly a festival of ideas, and it was pulsing with energy of people that had stories to share and could, like, inspire you to see things differently.
Obviously, as we've said, it's bilateral talks that takes place between these world leaders, and a lot focuses on how the economy on the global stage can be boosted. But of course, the whole theme of We the 99 or We the 99% focuses on economic injustice itself. So just from your perspective, and as Women on Farms, how does this injustice manifest specifically in the rural and farming communities?
That's a very good question. And in South Africa, unfortunately, we're always the most unequal country in the world. And if you just take a look at the statistics, the minimum wage is, let's say you're lucky, 5,000 rand a month. And then you have the richest man, Johan Rupert, also has farms in Franschhoek. And he was worth, in 2000, this year, was worth 240 million rand. So, I mean, that is seismic, 240 million versus 5,000 rand a month. And in all of the crises and all of the challenges that the world is experiencing now, it's always the woman, it's always in particular the rural woman, that's going to experience those more acutely. Whether it's food prices or environmental degradation or pesticide use or Trump's tariff, she's going to feel that most severely, and she's going to have to incorporate that into her life and still feed the family. So she never gets a break. She just has to be on all of the time. And so those, I mean, again, it's like, well, the women do this invisible work. They invisible work in the house, invisible work caring for families. And these kind of things, these are kind of injustices. They're not serving us as a planet, as humanity. And so in Women on Farms Project, the answers are quite simple, in that the World Inequality Report in 2022 said that if you want to improve equality, there has to be land redistribution. There has to be more progressive taxation, such as a wealth tax. And the social welfare needs to be improved in the country. These are not mysteries. These are things that are very rational, yet at the same time, we lack on our side the government's, the political will to implement it. Now, I'm sure Mr. Rupert won't go hungry. If there's just a wealth tax, a little bit of a wealth tax on his 240 million, he will be fine. And that money can be used to address the social issues that the children of South Africa face.
I do believe that one of the big issues that was discussed at the G20 by these world leaders is the issue of inequality. And it's quite ironic that it's South Africa is chosen, which is considered by the World Bank as the most unequal country in the world. That South Africa is chosen as the African country, being the most unequal country, to host the first G20 on African soil. But to some extent, there was discussions around inequality and commitments that were made on how it's going to be addressed. I believe that one of the world leaders actually said that the same platforms and the same attention that we give to an issue like global warming should be given to inequality. I don't know to what extent you perhaps followed these conversations, but are you satisfied with some of the commitments that were made by these global leaders on how inequality is going to be addressed going forward?
Well, yeah, you know, we have to appreciate also. So we appreciated putting Africa and Global South onto the map. And we appreciated this focus on inequality. And then from the proposals, it's also like you said, you're not quite sure, because again, there's this problem of participation and transparency. But it was said that there is they're going to implement an international panel on inequality to synthesize the data on the topic and to provide policy analysis and direction, like guided direction that all countries can follow. So we appreciate these shifts and these changes, but at the same time, we do need practical mechanisms. How do they intend to implement this? And as you said right at the beginning, it's like, how does this affect the person? How does this affect the woman on farms? How does it affect the child that's hungry this evening? And, well, we will always be hopeful, and we will keep doing the work in all of the spaces. But at the moment, in our reality, inside of our work, we're struggling with the Department of Labor to inspect farms for injuries on duty, so that the workers who are permanently injured can receive compensation for the injuries that happen to them while working. So, like, you know, so those are the bread and butter issues that we are challenged with at the moment.
Yeah. I want to talk about an issue that you've alluded to earlier, because I know that this is one that women on farms have been or continues to advocate for. And that is, of course, the use of pesticides and harmful pesticides on farms. We know that the winelands, the area that we find ourselves in, is a predominantly wine with everywhere you go, you would find these vines. And, of course, a lot of these farms rely on the use of pesticides. We have seen last year and at the beginning of this year, several demonstrations being held by organizations such as Women on Farms. I believe you've also boycotted. There was a gathering, also one of a kind or the first of its kind, that was held here in Paarl. I believe it was at one of the wine farms, ironically, where the issue of pesticide use also came up. To what extent did that get a seat at the table during the People's Summit held in Johannesburg last week?
Well, that's the area that I was focusing on. So I work with Amandla.mobi, which is also an NGO that drives people's campaigns, and they are hosting our petition in the Double Standards petition. And so in this petition, what we're highlighting is that there are pesticides that have been banned in Europe because of their health and environmental consequences. Yet Europe produces these pesticides and exports it for use in South Africa. One of them is hydrogen cyanamide, which is the active ingredient of the product called Dormix, which is used prolifically on farms for even budding. So that is sprayed, and I mean, this substance, if I can have a little bit of extra, is so dangerous that the European study said that even with proper protocol, when they were using all visors, gloves, chemical resistant masks, etc., it was still 6,433% over acceptable operator exposure levels.
And put that into context for us. With that type of exposure, what does it do to the human body?
Well, those chemicals are being, so Dormix is being used, and in a context, again, it's this inequalities, yes, of wealth, but inequalities of power. But in the situation on farms, workers, because they are dependent on this work, either for employment or for their housing, they don't get to tell the farmer, no, but I can't spray this, there's no PPE, because what will happen to your job? There's so many more people that will take this work if you don't. So those kind of disparities, it creates a lot of violence on people's bodies. And so workers have to use these dangerous chemicals without protocol, without information, without training, without. And when they get sick from the spraying, it's difficult for us to get the farmer to register this as a disease, for the Department of Employment and Labor to help us register this as a disease for compensation. So the other health benefits is that it will affect your lungs. Mm. It can affect your hormonal system, which is in particularly devastating because it can affect the unborn child.
Mm.
So the children still to come could have deformities. Sure. But also there's the consequences of what it does to your life. So Auntie Dinah, who was exposed to Dormex in the Dorings, she can no longer sing in the choir. That was her joy and that was her passion, to sing in the choir. But she can't do that anymore because her lungs can't allow for that.
Sure.
So it's like it destroys your possibilities and your opportunities. Made worse by the fact that it's so difficult to get any kind of compensation for people who have been exposed while working.
Yeah. Just lastly, Cara, I want you to perhaps just take us through some of the important commitments that emerged from the People's Summit. Of course, it cannot just be a platform where we discuss issues, and as you've said, the bread and butter matters that affect our community. But I do believe that there needs to be some sort of commitment going forward. These cannot just be dialogue platforms for the sake of dialogue. So what were some of the commitments and perhaps even the practical steps that might follow from these talks going forward?
Yeah, so I agree with you. It cannot just be a very, very expensive and conference that doesn't bring any change. And as we mentioned, we appreciate the emphasis on inequality. We appreciate the call to relook at the debts that developed nations are facing. And we also want to say we strongly support the call that occupied Palestine, Congo, and Sudan should have peace, and that infrastructure, civilian infrastructure, and medical infrastructure are not legitimate targets in any war. So those are the things, and we also appreciate our government decided to go forward with it despite the geopolitical bullying of the United States and Trump.
Yeah.
But holding our governments to accountable is all of our work. It's not just the NGO sector, the civil society sector, but it's every single person's responsibility to understand what is acceptable to you, and when it no longer is acceptable, have the courage to say it and to change it.
Mm.
So that is my call to action to everybody. And if you think about it, you know what that means in your life. I don't have to tell you, you have a strong sense of what that means for you. That call to activism. You know what? We're working with the Union Against Hunger. And in the Union Against Hunger, they have very concrete tasks to take the issue forward. And Stephen Devereaux, who is a professor at the University of the Western Cape, speaks to the, if I may quote him, he said, state failure to deliver on the right food is a symptomatic of excessive concentration of corporate power in the agri-food system. And this must be confronted, and we can no longer stay silent about corporate power and inequalities. And I think that's true for food, but I think that's true for across the board.
Mm.
So we will, as Women on Farms Project, we will continue with our work, and we will continue to put the focus on farm women, and that is where the true power lies, in a woman looking in the mirror and seeing herself as beautiful, valuable, and strong. And that is how we measure our success, because that's how we change. That's how we contest inequalities. That's how we change the world that the farm women and we all love
it. Cara McKay from the Women on Farms Project, with the offices based in Stellenbosch, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, they do a lot of work on farms in the rural sector, especially here in the Drakenstein municipal area as well. Thank you so much for your time. Of course, reflecting on Women on Farms' participation in the People's Summit, which essentially was a counter-dialogue of the G20 World Leadership Summit that was held in Johannesburg last week. Stay tuned. G20. Just after the break, we'll take a look at what's happening in our local newspaper, the Paul Post, and interpret and go through some of the news headlines for this week.
I thought that we had something good in our hands. In a minute it just slipped away. So many things I didn't say before you threw it all away. I pretend I'm okay, but I'm lost and afraid, and nobody really understands. But now I'm dancing to a band with all the demons in my head.
Baby, we'll be old. 107.7.
So 33 minute net na 6 en jy is nog ingeskakel hier op KC Talk met Myra Saad Adams, jou weeklikse nuus en aktualiteitsprogram. En soos wat ons gesê het, ons wil vinnige draai gaan maak by die Parel Pos, jou gemeenskapskoerant, om te kyk wat is van die hoofberigte in hierdie week se koerant. Ons sien natuurlik daai een storie op die voorblad van die tienerseuns wat in die arboretum oorval was deur rowers. Ons verstaan hulle het daar by die bergrivier vis gevang en hulle moes vir hulle lewe vlug en deur die rivier aan die ander kant uitkom vir hulle veiligheid. Dit is 'n baie kommerwekkende storie en enetjie wat natuurlik ook vra lig rondom die veiligheid in die arboretum. Aan die ander kant van die voorblad, Hoos in Boland Rugby oorleef wantroue mosie. En ons verstaan dit is 'n mosie wat deur 'n groep skeidsregters van die Boland Rugby Unie se skeidsregtersvereniging teen die vereniging se voorsitter, dis natuurlik Sebastian Abrams en ondervoorsitter Alan Williams ingedien is. En daai mosie het die afgelope Dinsdag aan volgens die Parel Pos op 'n algemene vergadering gedien en dit het natuurlik nie geslaag nie. En Sebastian Abrams en Alan Williams is natuurlik steeds in hulle posisies. Sebastian wat hier sê dat nadat die mosie nie geslaag het, hier sal hy vorentoe daarop konsentreer om enige verdeeldheid wat dalk in die vereniging bestaan uit die weg te ruim. En Sebastian sluit vanaand by ons aan hier op KC Talk. Goeienaand Sebastian, baie dankie vir jou tyd.
Goeienaand Rezaad en goeienaand ook aan die luisteraars daar buite.
Waaruit spruit hierdie mosie? Ons lees hier in die Parel Pos in dat dit op 3 Oktober het hierdie groep skeidsregters en dit is 'n brief wat onderteken was deur 10 skeidsregters ten minste. Waaruit het dit gespruit? Gee dalk net vir ons 'n bietjie duidelikheid rondom dit.
Rezaad, ek sou vir jou ongelukkig nie kan sê presies waaruit dit spruit nie. Die rede is dat ek het ook die mosie ontvang en toe ek kennis neem van die mosie was ek net so verbaas gewees en ook aan sekere punte wat daar uitgelig was. Maar soos jy ook tereg genoem het, die proses is Dinsdag aan plaasgevind en die mosie het nou nie geslaag nie, met ander woorde die mosie kon nie gedien word nie. Ons grondwet maak voorsiening dat 'n lid om 'n mosie te dien moet dat ten minste 10 persone so 'n mosie steun. En dis hoe die mosie dan ons nou dan aanhange gemaak word, dan moet 'n spesiale vergadering beroep word om hierdie mosie te hanteer en dan moet 67% van die persone wat vir die mosie is, vir die wat teenwoordig is in die vergadering en stemgeregtig is, dan kon so 'n mosie slaag.
Ja, ja.
Jy het reg ook genoem dat dit is al Oktober maand ingestuur en ek het as versoek aan die Unie op daardie stadium dit hanteer want dit is na vergadering genoem en ek het vir hulle gevra kan ons net dit afhandel na die hele uitspeel en nou die top 12 is in haar tyd begin en die semifinale en die finale so dat mens net eers dit agter kry en dan die mosie hanteer wat ons dan so ook gedoen het.
Ja, ja. En ek dink 10 skeidsregters uit 'n groep van uit hoeveel kom ons sê skeidsregters bestaan die vereniging. 10 is nogal 'n redelike getal as dit byvoorbeeld nou kom ons sê dat 30 of 25 skeidsregters. Dit wil vir ons sê dat daar dalk nou na so 'n tipe mosie wat deur ten minste 10 skeidsregters geondersteun was, so 'n bietjie wrywing onder die vereniging kan wees en ons lees hier in die Parel Pos dat jy nou sê jy is nou glad nie op 'n hekse jag uit om nou te gaan uitvind wel ons weet seker nou wie die 10 is dit hulle handtekeninge is in die brief wat hulle geskryf het maar jou fokus soos wat ons kan aflei is nou nie om te fokus op die wat van jou ontslaag geraak het nie maar om weer eenheid te bring onder die Unie is dit hoe ons dit verstaan
100% is dood reg ek kan vir jou sê dat ons het Februarie hierdie jaar was ons verkies die bestuur. En jy weet, as die mens nou maar moties en goed lees, dan was het nou maar die groep wat nou nie vir my was, in elk geval vir voorsitter, want hulle het 'n ander kandidaat gehad wat toe nou nie geslaag het nie. En toe sit nou hierdie selfde groep wat toe nou die motie bring. So, maar ek kan ook net noem aan jouself en aan die luisteraars dat onder geen omstandighede het ek op vir hulle anders behandel wat nie vir my gestem het nie. Mm. En ek het my voorsittersrede gesê dat almal val onder die jurisdiksie van Bullet en almal sal dieselfde hanteer word as hy voldoen aan die vereistes en van die Boland grondwet sal hy so hanteer word. En selfs in hierdie geval ons het per hand gestem, so elkeen het nou gesien wie stem vir en wie stem teen. Mm. En jy weet, was maar in enige organisasie gaan jy een bietjie verdeeld het, het is, as persone nou sekere punt of iets teen en ander teen dit is wat nou ongelukkig voel. So dis ook om ek gesê dat ons moet het regmaak en geen hekse jag op enige ene. Ek wil eindelijk nou net die jaar klaarmaak en dan vroeg in die jaar, want jy weet, is, die jaar is baie lang vir skeidsregters en in die Boland. Ek wil die allemaal maar net eers geniet en dat ons net volgende jaar voor die seizoen begin, sal ek in elk geval graag met hierdie groep wil ontmoet. En precies, luister, wat is dit wat vir hulle pla, want het is belangrijk ook dat die mens aandag aan dit gee,
yeah,
en dat hulle misschien een beter perspektief krijg.
Yeah.
Ons het nou nie die punte, soos die mens nou sommer verwacht, wat hy nou maar hanteer in die motie, dat hy die punte in die vergadering hanteer, en dat die ongelukkig is wat nou die motie gebring het, nou kan precies sê, kijk, ons vat nou die een geval wat nou, hulle is nou nie gelukkig, hoor ek wat kommentaarwerk ook doen nie, en dat kan, laat hulle dit kan staaf, hoekom hulle dit sê, en ek dan ook miskien vir hulle kan sê, maar waarop dit in einde van die dag kom. Want ons as op die uitvoerende bestuur van die skeidsregtersvereniging word nie betaal vir dit, dis heeltemal 'n vrywillige werk wat ons doen.
Hmm.
En ek dink, een mens moet nie regtig persone, as hy iets anders buitemense activiteit ook beoefen, behalwe sy skeidsregterskap wat heeltemal 'n vrywillige saak is, staat nie.
Yeah.
En aan my bestuur het in elk geval die goedkeuring, en ek het met die Bola en Rugby Unie, my uitvoerende bestuurslid Arno Geland, ook al vroeg in die jaar daaroor gepraat, en genoem dat indien ek nie betrokke fisies sal wees nie, dat ek daar die stokperkie van my in dit sal beoefen, en daar was geen probleem daar oor nie.
Mm.
So hulle het nooit gekom en gevra oor dit, jy verstaan. Yeah. Mens sal altyd my eers verwag, kom ons gesels eers oor aspekte, voor jy tot op jou emosiepunt kom, en ek bedoel, as daar nou rechtig die aandag gegeer dat jy, en dit wat jy op sy tram riette, dan sê ek, dan het ek regtig nie 'n probleem.
Ja, ja. Ek wil gewoon het baie vinnig gaan, daar was natuurlijk in die afgelopen jaar, en ek verwag geensins van jou nou om in te gaan op die meriete van enige onderzoek nie, maar net dalk oor die algemeen te praat. Daar was baie media berigte gewees rondom skeidsregters en al die beweringe van skeidsregter omkopery en alles. So ek dink in die nuwe jaar, en jy het nou nog gesê dat jou fokus nou is om op volgende jaar te fokus en dat jy volgende jaar se rugby seisoen reg afbegin en weer suksesvolle jaar hê, maar ek dink 'n groot taak as 'n skeidsregter vereniging en nie net julle nie, maar ek dink vir die Unie ook gaan wees om nou weer die beeld van skeidsregters te herstel na afloop van die media berigte die afgelope jaar. Is dit iets waarop jy gespits gaan wees in die nuwe jaar in? Ek dink jy noem in Parel Post se berig dat die rugby gemeenskap verwag van julle om wedstryde op 'n eerlike en regverdige manier te blaas en aan te pak. So ek dink na die jaar en al die reputationele skade wat skeidsregters dalk kon ervaar het weens hierdie beweringe, lê daar nou 'n goeie taak voor om daai beeld te herstel.
Is reg as jy dit sê, jy weet dat die Boland Rugby Unie het 'n ondersoek geloods, 'n interne ondersoek ten opsigte van dit. Ek het 'n versoek gerig dat die vereniging graag net ook die uitkomst van daardie ondersoek sal wil hê, dat ons presies kan gaan kyk wat het hulle in die ondersoek opgetel, sou daar enige waarhede wees in dit en hoe ons dit kan aanpak en ook waarvan dit kom, sou dan nie waarhede in is nie, om dit dan op die manier te hanteer. En selfs die SARU is besig met 'n interne of onafhanklike ondersoek ook in die Boland op hierdie oomblik waarmee hulle besig is. So dit sal ons ook natuurlik daardie uitkoms van wat daai ondersoek behels vir ons jaap. En dis presies wat ons wil doen. En nou daar is 'n groep negatiewe van die publiek daar buite ten opsigte van dit wat in die media is en daar is. So ons moet beslis aandag gee daaraan. En elke skeieregter onderteken elke jaar plichtstaat en hy onderteken ook 'n code of conduct om hom te weerhou van hierdie tipe gedrag en goed. So sou hy of sy hulle skuldig maak daaraan, weet hulle dat hulle natuurlik ingekla kan word en ook is daar verdere prosesse ten opsigte van die geregtsheid gang gaan ten opsigte van dit ook kan geskied. Maar sal beslis dit, daai beeld moet ons as vereniging ook beslis sal ons hanteer.
Absoluut. Sebastian Abrams, hy is natuurlik die voorsitter van die Boland Skeieregters Vereniging en hy het sy ondervoorsitter die afgelope Dinsdag aan natuurlik daai wantroue mosie oorleef en gaan natuurlik voort met hul duties as die twee leiers van daardie vereniging, 'n baie belangrike vereniging wat natuurlik seker maak dat die skeieregters wat so 'n belangrike rol in ons gemeenskappe en spesifiek in die rugby gemeenskap natuurlik speel, dat dit natuurlik reg uitgevoer word volgens die nodige en bestaande grondwette en prosesse wat in plek is. Ons sê baie dankie vir Sebastian vir sy tyd. Bly gerus ingeskakel. In die laaste paar minute gaan ons net vinnig nog kyk wat van die ander berigte in van dese week se Parelpos is.
When I was 13, I'm breaking again, like the time when you first saw me, pulling teeth down my dress at your cousin's fourth wedding anniversary. There wasn't much time for me to get over it, but your eyes, oh your eyes, castles in the sky, your eyes, those eyes, there's castles in the sky, yeah. Pray for it, you whisper then, I will make you mine. Pray for me, you whisper then, I will make you mine. I'm walking away from that place of pride and grief. I'm here with you today. Hold my hand as you say your vows to me. Drinking champagne all week, wearing all white in this place we dreamed about. There isn't much time for you to spend with me. Got your eyes, oh your eyes,
your sound of the Winelands, KC 107.7.
Voordat ek jou groet, wil ons net vinnig kyk wat nog in hierdie week se Parelpos nuus maak. Dis natuurlik KC Talk met my Rasaad Adams hier op KC 107.7. Ons het gesels oor daai twee seuns wat in die arboretum langs die Bergrivier oorval was en die polisie wat natuurlik daai saak ondersoek. Ons het met Allen terwyl Sebastian Abrams gesels en hy is natuurlik die voorsitter van die Poland Rugby Unie se skeidsregtersvereniging oor daai wantroue moesie wat hy en sy ondervoorsitter Allen Williams die afgelope Dinsdag aand oorleef het. Op bladsy 2 van die Parelpos lees ons hier vermoorde se neef gestraf. En dis natuurlik die saak van die vermoorde Paulus Joubert hoofseun Julano King wat verlede jaar in Julie maand op 18 jarige ouderdom deur sy neef Gershwin Fransman vermoor was. En hy het natuurlik vir Julano met die mes gesteek. Ons lees dat Julano glo sy oupa teen Gershwin wou beskerm het en Gershwin is die afgelope Vrydag, verlede Vrydag is Gershwin 25 jaar tronkstraf gevonnis wat opgeskort is vir 5 jaar op die voorwaarde dat hy in hierdie tyd nie homself aan 'n soortgelyke misdaad skuldig maak nie. Parelpos wat natuurlik met Julano se ma, Jolene King gesels oor hoe die afgelope jaar en 5 maande was om natuurlik oor die gebeure te kom. Ek dink wat hierdie storie baie moeiliker maak vir hierdie familie is die feit dat dit 'n neef is van Julano wat hom vermoor het. So met al hierdie hofprosesse en hofverskynings wat aan die gang was, dink ek dat dit nogal moeilik sou wees vir enige familie. Maar Jolene wat natuurlik daar sê dat die familie, jy weet, sy self het vir Gershwin vergewe vir dit wat sy aan haar seun, wat hy aan haar seun gedoen het. En daar's geen kwade gevoelens onder die familie nie en sy sê dit is natuurlik nou 'n hoofstuk wat hulle baie bly is hulle agter hulle kan sit. Ons lees oor 'n groep swendelaars wat die afgelope Saterdagmiddag hulle self vasgeloop het en deur die polisie en 'n veiligheidsnetwerke in die Parel gearresteer was. Hulle het natuurlik ook hierdie week in die Parel Landdroshof verskyn. Ek gaan huis toe, sê Candace, is daai berig op Parelpos se bladsy 3. Huldeblyke stroom steeds in nadat 'n Wellington se ma verlede week onverwags dood is en dit is 'n mooi berig daarso oor die afsterwe van die jong Candace Abrams van Wellington. Parelpos berig ook oor 'n tragiese brand wat die afgelope Sondag in Saron op 'n plaas so wat 10 km buite Saron plaasgevind het waar in 'n niggie en 'n neef die 3-jarige Jade Faro en Lanisha Bekes sy klein niggie en hierdie tweeetjies wat mekaar so mooi aangevul het volgens die familie was vasgekeer agter 'n brandende matras toe hulle plaashuis aan die brand geraak het daar op 'n plaas op die Hofmans hoogte. Dit is natuurlik die Hofmans hoogte pad buite Saron. So baie tragiese verhaal daar vir die landbougemeenskap. Parelpos wat natuurlik ook berig oor Drakensberg munisipaliteit se gereedheid vir die feesseisoen. 'N Mooi foto daar van die leap officers by die afgelope Vrydag se bekendstelling van die munisipaliteit se feestyd veiligheidsplan. Die koerant berig ook oor bergrituele, 'n brandgevaar. Die brandseisoen het aangeneem en daarmee saam die gevaar van brande in Drakensberg. En die Parelpos wat daar skryf oor die rituele veral in die donker kloof en dis natuurlik as ek dit reg het, is dit op die Tweedskloof pas waar daar gewoonlik rituele tydens die somer plaasvind. Wat lei tot brande? 'N Foto daarso van kersse wat agtergelaat word tydens hierdie rituele en moontlik hierdie brande kan veroorsaak. 'N Oulike spotprent daar op bladsy 8 en dit lees 'n seentjie wat sê as dit November se weer is, hoe gaan Februarie se weer dan lyk? En sy ma wat antwoord met global warming word ons dalk nog verras met 'n white Christmas die jaar en dit lyk soos 'n groep mense wat daar in die bergrivier daar by die arboretum swem. So 'n oulike spotprent daarso. Ons het natuurlik verlede week met Henry Jacobs gesels, Parelpos berig hierdie week weer. En dis natuurlik oor die protes optrede wat voor die Drakensberg munisipale gebou plaasgevind het die afgelope Dinsdag waar 'n petisie oorhandig het en die SIFS organisasie wat sê hands off Safmarine en hulle dring natuurlik daarop aan dat die munisipaliteit daai kennisgewing opskort en sê hulle gaan nêrens nie. Hulle gaan nie uittrek nie. Daai potgooi is natuurlik beskikbaar en jy kan gaan luister na daai onderhoud wat ons met Henry Jacobs, die stigter van SIFS gevoer het. Dis natuurlik al waarvoor ons tyd het hierdie week op Casey Talk met my Rasaad Adams. Ons is volgende week weer terug, selfde tyd, selfde plek.